Hey guys, welcome to Uncommon Faith. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Amber.
Well, we are excited because today we have Kalia Nicole. Let's see if I can say this right. Brand collab coach. I did it. Brand collab coach and full-time content creator. I did it. Yes, I did it. Hi, Kalia.
Hello. Yes, you got it.
Yes, welcome, welcome. We're so excited.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm pumped. So I met you. I don't even know how I ever even came across you back in the day. What year was that? 2018? 2017?
Oh, gosh. A long time ago.
Yeah,
like 5 years ago.
I just randomly came across you. I don't know if it was just like, I don't know if you did like a sponsored post or something like that. Ooh. Where you were talking about your blogger event.
No.
And back then, that was my main focus, was my blog, Meadows and Reeds. And I straight up drove 3 hours from Georgia to Orlando to come to your blogger event. How old were you at the time?
I was, if this was like 2017, I was like 19, 18 or
19.
19. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That, even then, like, that was just so impressive. And your whole aww, event. I got to tell you something really funny though.
Please tell me.
Okay. So we did the event at Bar Taco. Amber loves Bar Taco. Mm-hmm. And you remember
best
how
place
they,
ever.
They gave everyone like the little tokens.
Yeah.
For free tacos. Like, that's a thing or whatever. Like nobody was taking them. So I'm just like gathering all of the free.
Stockpile these.
Yeah. I'm going to stock. I still have them.
What?
And recently used it a couple weeks ago for the first time.
Wait, that's so great though. You're like, I've been saving these for a great moment.
Yeah.
Now is the moment.
Yeah, because I don't think there was even one in Georgia. So I was holding on to them in case we went back to Orlando. And we always kind of end up going to Del Taco. Not that that's in comparison. We're just from California.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you though. Yeah.
And it just happened
that's
to be
so
one
funny.
In Boulder. Right by where my husband works. And we're like, let's go. I was like, I've got these free tokens. And I call.
You're
I'm
like, let me pull these
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I was like, hey,
the storage.
So do you guys take these taco tokens? Oh, yeah. I was like, there's no expiration. Okay. I'm like, you still doing this? So, yeah, we straight up use. And I have a couple more and I'll bring them to Nashville because she loves Bar Taco.
Yes, we're
yes.
going to Bar Taco next week. Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm there like once a week. I mean, another thing that's like worth the hype, Bar Taco. So good. They're like Bar Taco secret right now is the lobster taco.
Oh,
it's delicious.
Yeah, my husband had that and
delicious.
He was like, but he ended up liking that pork belly. That's the one I had at your event. I was like, I remember the pork belly
yep.
was really good.
Fire.
But
I keep
eating the.
I always get that.
I keep eating the kids' quesadilla.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. That has to be delicious. I've never had it, but you can't go wrong with the quesadilla. Have you ever had the like birria? I don't know how to say it the right way. Birria tacos. I'm half Puerto Rican, y'all. And I am a disgrace to my culture.
Me too.
I cannot speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish
okay.
either.
So I apologize in advance, but those with like the broth that they have, oh my goodness. So good. So good.
I haven't.
I would try it. If y'all are going and you like that, it's like a crispy shell with like duck in it and cheese, like a cheese mixture. I can't even have cheese. And I was like, we're going to send it and I will deal with the consequences later because these are fire. I'm having these today. That's what I did.
I think I'd pass on the duck.
Oh, the duck is good. Not a duck girl.
I'm such a picky eater.
You're
no.
like, I'm doing the quesadilla.
She is so, and
yeah.
I'm pretty picky too.
I'll do
yeah,
a quesadilla
like,
for sure.
There you go.
No seafood
yeah.
here.
No
duck, no lamb, no deer, no elk.
I'll do all of that. But I also, I grew up on a farm, so.
I just need
like
a classic chicken.
That's safe.
Yeah. Chicken, just give me a chicken.
Chicken and pork. And I can't eat lamb because it's my favorite animal.
Oh, yeah, I hear that. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I made my friend guess one time. I was like, we're in Hobby Lobby. And I'm like, can you guess what my favorite animal is? And she's just like, llama? And I'm like, no.
I do love a good llama.
But I was like, it's a biblical animal. She's like, fish? And I'm like, literally the most biblical animal is a lamb. No, she didn't guess it. She's like, llama? No, llamas aren't in the Bible. This doesn't make sense.
Hey, they're on the ark, though. They're still here.
Oh, man.
Llamas born in the ark.
Could you imagine? A whale. Yeah. Llamas and camels and ostriches.
That's another funny animal. I'm not going to lie. That's a funny animal.
It is. Sorry. My kid just watched Jumanji 2, The Next Level, probably 10 or 15 times already, and they get attacked by a herd of ostriches.
I don't know if I've seen those that. That's funny.
It is. It's actually really
so
funny.
So good. It's a good one.
Both Jumanjis.
To add it to my movie list.
Yeah. Well, I could give you a list. That's you know, it's funny. You were saying you don't know any Spanish. My husband is actually learning Spanish, and he's the whitest of white people.
There you go. Good for him.
He's making me look bad.
That's funny.
Puerto Rican family.
That's hilarious. How is it? Is he doing Duolingo or Rosetta Stone or something?
Duolingo. Yeah.
Their TikTok is fire.
And it's really annoying.
Quick plug, TikTok. Duolingo's TikTok is so fire. They have a great TikTok strategy. I'm into all of that though. Marketing strategy, influencer strategy, social media strategy. That's my jam. So anytime a brand is has a really good social presence, I always take notice of that. So Duolingo has a good one.
That's awesome.
So since you brought it up, let's talk about that, because you basically started while you were in high school, right?
Kind of at the end of high school, but freshman year of college is when I really started everything. So I was 17 when I started my blog, KayleeandNicole.com, and I wanted a place to share just my passions. For my passion for fashion at the time, beauty, skincare, lifestyle, all the things. Mm-hmm. So I started a blog to have that creative outlet. And then I started realizing, I always knew ever since I was a kid that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was the girl that, at one point my family lived on a golf course before we bounced around. We lived on different farms and stuff and usually had some kind of land, or I was at my grandma's house that had a lot of land. And so we were out in the country a lot. And there was one point, though, where we lived on a golf course. And so I was the girl at 8 or 9 years old that the golf balls would land in our yard and I'd clean them off. And then I'd go get a Sam's Club bag of chips and Gatorades. And I would put a stand out there on the course. So when the golfers came by, I would sell them back their golf balls that landed in my yard, because I was a hustler from 8, 9 years old. And then I'd be also, do you want a bag of chips with that? And I was a cute kid, they didn't say no to me. And so they bought a bag of chips, bought their golf ball back for me.
I could use some snacks.
Yes. And so that was me as a kid. I always knew. I always knew I wanted to be in business or some kind of entrepreneur. I didn't know what. So when I started my blog, I started realizing how people were monetizing it through, working with brands. And it was really intriguing to me. But nobody wanted to share how they were doing it. I'd offer to pay. I wanted to do mentorships with people. I was like, somebody just teach me. I'll literally pay you. Just show me the ropes. And everyone was like, you're really young and you have no experience and good luck, but you're probably not going to make it in this industry. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to figure it out myself then. So I started to figure it out, and through lots of trial and error, started landing paid collaborations with brands. And that just really, sparked my interest. And I loved building those relationships and making those connections. So then people started asking me how are you doing that? And what's the tea, you know? And so then I started a group coaching program, which eventually turned into my signature self-paced course called Network to Net Worth that teaches creatives how to land paid brand partnerships and go from like it being a hobby to a full-time business. And yeah, that's kind of like up to speed of where we're at now. And full-time, what I do is I teach girls how to land paid brand partnerships. And then I'm also a full-time content creator. So I also do the work with brands. So we were talking about like Bar Taco for a while. That's actually one of my brand partners. That's why I'm there all the time. So like they'll, you know, have me come in and try their new Bar Taco secrets and like share that on my Instagram stories or in a post and stuff. Like that was the very first event that I ever did was at Bar Taco. I called it Taco Talk. I really thought I was doing something there. I was like, this is that is a title, Taco Talk. Yeah. Hey, that's what we're doing.
I still have my pictures really from it. Yeah.
I love the Polaroids.
Yeah, I had my Polaroid and
I love it.
I took pictures. Yeah, I took pictures. It was funny because everyone was like doing their selfies and stuff like that. And I'm like, I have my actual camera and I'm just like taking like the more aesthetic pictures.
Yeah.
The venue and
Yeah. So yeah, that's how it got started. Is like I did, you know, group coaching. I did a ton of events. I did retreats. I did a conference. And I really fell in love with, you know, having a self-paced course and being able to offer something that was just like financially accessible to a lot of people, that there was no cap or limit on how many people could join at one time. And also that anybody could be a part of from anywhere in the world. So yeah, that's what I do full time now. I love it. I always knew I would do some form of entrepreneurship. I just didn't know what until I started my blog my freshman year, but I'm so glad that I did. And I just stuck with it and followed through with it. And now here we are 7 years later. Now I'm 24, I'm not 17 anymore. I'm about to be 25, which is crazy.
I love how you not only mastered it, something people told you you couldn't do at that age, but now you're also capitalizing on it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And at such a young age.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. It's a huge blessing. I truly believe that like we're blessed to be a blessing. And so I see it as a huge blessing that I was able to figure it out and really gain that experience and that knowledge being in the industry. And I believe that, you know, I just feel called to share that, you know, and like share the wealth and invite other people into the space and teach them how they can land paid deals and be able to provide for their families or, you know, quit their jobs that they aren't loving or do, you know, something creatively, work for themselves, have time freedom, location freedom, financial freedom. You know, those things are really important to me. And so it's a huge blessing that I'm able to just steward, you know, groups of creatives into my courses and, you know, just provide them with value and ways that, you know, they can make money and work with brands they love and build those relationships. So I'm, you know, as much as it sucked at 17 being told that I would like never make it in this industry and that I should just give up now, I'm so glad that the Lord just like carried me through and allowed, you know, put the right people in my life and just gave me the tenacity to keep going and keep trying because, you know, that's paid off, you know, now all these years later. And it's just been really cool to see what God has done in the last 7 years just by me giving him my yes and being like, all right, Lord, like I'm going to try. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to trust you that you got me because I know that you're leading me into this space. So yeah, it's been a cool journey.
It's amazing.
I think that was just one thing that even after the blogger event, that was definitely something that stood out about you to me. Because, I mean, I'm the same way. Like, if I'm doing something, if someone asks me how to do it, I'm like, oh, sure, absolutely. Like, no one else, I don't think anyone else was just giving the information freely. Like, ask a question. Like, it is. Like, even when I was doing, you know, focusing on photography, it was really hard to find. Like, I'm like, okay, so how do I do this? Like, how do I do this in business? And no one wanted to, you know, it's like, well, I'll tell you if, you know, you pay me. But, you know, I'm like, why can't, like, you were just always on there sharing, you know, your tips and, you know, sites that you use. What's the site that you, like, what was it called? And I'm sure I have it saved somewhere on my computer. The site where you like, you put your social in and then it shows you like all of your stats or whatever.
Stats and everything. Yeah. I think back then it was like Social Blue Book. Yeah. I don't even know if that's still around though.
Oh.
There's like tons of other platforms though that have to be like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've always been very frustrated by how much gatekeeping there is in the industry. Mm-hmm. Again, that's like what I know often deters a lot of people. It almost deterred me from getting into this space of just being like, wow, no one's willing to help me. And like, everyone's like, oh, it's so hush hush. It's so secretive. It's like, you know, if you win, I win. You know, this isn't, oh, now that there's more creatives, there's no more room for me. It's like, there's a room for you. There's room for you at any table. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like there's not, make your own table. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really big on just sharing and, you know, giving any kind of value that I possibly can, because you never know how it could help somebody and you don't know anybody's story. It's like, I could give one free tip and, or you could use my pitch template and land a deal that like changes your life. I don't know, mm-hmm. but you know, I may not know the story of, you know, how my content could have changed someone, or maybe it's just to give them the confidence, or maybe it's to help them realize like what God is calling them to. I don't know. You know, but I want to be used as a vessel in that way. And I can't do that if I'm, you know, holding everything that I've learned and all of my experiences with a closed fist. You know, that doesn't even help me, you know, yeah. like that does nothing for anyone involved. And so, you know, I just really have a heart to serve creatives and to pour into them as much as I possibly can. And in that, you know, God has been very faithful and gracious to allow that to provide for, you know, me and now for my husband and I, which has been an amazing blessing. So, yeah.
Well, I think that I still use things that I took away from the event or even from following you on social media. Like, I still use those things that I learned, you know, even just with like our podcast or even like, I mean, even at church, I'm literally like, I was doing social media for the youth group.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's just, people yeah. don't realize that teaching those simple skills and whatnot, like how that can affect just even like literally something from you at 17 years old or whatever is now being like transferred into me to now reach children in youth group. Like, aww. That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. So
that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I mean, that's for anyone listening. I think that's like a huge part is that what we're doing is so much bigger than ourselves. That's how I view it. Is like what I'm doing is so much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And really what I'm doing has nothing to do with me. This is about giving God the glory and, you know, honoring him through working with excellence and leading with value and being intentional with how I show up. And when you mm-hmm. approach things and it's not about you and it's not because of you and, you know, you're just being used as a vessel, you know, that really gives the Lord so much room to work and to operate through you. And that's mm-hmm. when you don't even realize like how many people you could touch or how many people you could reach, because, you know, some people might, and I think it's so beautiful and it really blesses my heart to hear how, you know, things that I've shared have impacted you, right? Or helped you in some way that blesses mm-hmm. my heart to know. But I think that a lot of times, not everyone says something, you know, a lot of times you're not going to know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really beautiful part of what we get to do as business owners and entrepreneurs is just showing up and leaving the rest to the Lord, you know, is like putting forth our best effort, showing mm-hmm. up and doing work in excellence, being intentional and letting God take care of the rest, because you just never know how he's going to use you or use your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely know all about that.
I already see that face and I already know what's going that? Through your what's head that? Right now. Amber, we found your next thing.
I'm always like, Amber, what's your next thing? I talked her into doing a podcast.
We love that.
But she loves it now.
Aww.
I think it's kind of just like taken a life of its own.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So I know in recent posts on your social media, you talked a lot about kind of hitting rock bottom in your business. And
yeah,
can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So rock bottom for me happened at the end of 2019. As I mentioned, I started my business when I was a freshman in college at 17. By the time that I was graduating, I knew that full time I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to continue doing everything that I was doing. And so graduating in 2019, I graduated with my degree in marketing and international business. And I said, okay, I'm committing full time to running my business. Well, I had invested all throughout college, every single penny that I had made back into my business, just constantly funneling it through. It got to the point where I was no longer able to sustain that and also pay my rent. I couldn't afford my rent anymore. I had nothing left. I think I had like $30 in my bank account at one point. And rent, I was living in St. Pete, Florida at the time, and rent there was not cheap. I had a roommate. She was moving out. I just couldn't afford to live in a place on my own. I didn't really have anybody else that I could room with because all my life I've had friends that are older. So a lot of my friends were already married or in serious relationships or, you know, or their living situation was figured out. So I didn't really have anybody that I could move into. I called my dad and I talked to him and I was like, I think I need to move home. And my dad being my dad, he was like, please come home. I miss you. I want to be with you. So, you know, he easily welcomed me back into the house and it was devastating for me. I felt like such a failure. I'd spent like these last 4 years busting my butt, praying over my business, making the right connections, building the relationships, investing in my business, like hiring coaches, like doing all these things that I felt like were the right things to do. And then I felt like, okay, God, like you allowed me to build this. Like you allowed me to like quit my job while I was in college. You know, you helped me like graduate, you know, and graduate with honors. Like, so what's going on? Like, what the heck is happening right now? I was so upset. I remember being just like so mad at the Lord. And I moved back home at the end of 2019. And then, as we all know, 2020 happened. Obviously, none of us knew that was going to happen. And it ended up being like the biggest blessing in disguise for me to be back home with my family. So I was with my dad, my stepmom, who's like a mom to me. She and I are extremely close. And I have two younger brothers. And so we were all living there. Well, in January of 2020, well, let me back up a little bit. December of 2019, I slid into the DMs of my now husband. So ladies, shoot your shot. And it worked out for me. Bless it. He and I are middle school sweethearts actually. So it's kind of like a rekindling of a love story. But in January of 2020 is when he actually asked me to be his girlfriend. And I was living with my family at the time. And so not only was I like able to be home with my family in 2020 when everything was happening, but I was also able to like nurture this new relationship that like I knew I was going to marry him. Like I just knew it. You know, when you know, you actually know. I always knew it and my family knew it too from the very beginning. And so like it was this beautiful opportunity for him to like come down and visit family and be home. Well, then like March hit. It was like just, you know, it was obviously craziness after that. But to kind of wrap things up and like fast forward to the end of 2020, you know, 2019, I'm hitting rock bottom. I feel like a failure. I feel like my business is over. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to come up from here. In 2020, we make the decision to transition from a group coaching program into a self-paced course to make it more financially accessible for creatives and to offer the opportunity for more creatives to join. Because I don't have to cap a self-paced course. I have to cap a group coaching program because of capacity of my, you know, I can only give so much. So we do that. And we end up, 2020 ended up being the best ever year for us in business. The best ever year. And the Lord like not only allowed me to really restructure my business very intentionally because of being away from like my, you know, life in St. Pete and the friends that I had made there and like the environment that I was in, like he allowed me to restructure it like one-on-one with him. He, number two, allowed me to build such a deeper intimacy and relationship with him that I had never experienced before in all of my life. Number three, he allowed me to really heal a lot of trauma that I have because I come from a broken home and my parents had me when they were very, very young. And so there's always been like a lot of family trauma for me. And my dad and I's relationship was very tumultuous up until that point. And 2020, like God really used that year to just heal our relationship. There was such redemption in that. And he and I are so, so close now, like so close. I've always loved my dad, but like the relationship just wasn't there. And he and I have such an amazing relationship now. And that is just because of like such reconciliation and redemption that happened in 2020. And then number four, like he allowed me to build this relationship with my now husband and like do that just while being with my family and being home. And like my brothers got close with him and he got close with my family. And like, it was just really beautiful. Like just seeing him kind of starting to come into the family, but like, even though we weren't necessarily married yet. So there was that beautiful relationship. And by the end of 2020, because of just like the insane favor and blessings of the Lord, I was able to go get my own apartment in Tampa. So I moved back to Tampa by the end of 2020. I got my dream apartment in like the most amazing location. It was a 1-1. I was able to afford it all by myself from what the business was making. And it was just like, it was so crazy to look like just the year, so much that had happened over the year, but it was just 2020 was so like healing and redemptive and transformative, you know? And so that coming out of that year and then moving into 2021, like that was the best year of my life. Christian ended up moving down to Florida. He like officially, we did long distance our entire relationship. So he moved from Ohio to Florida. He proposed a month later. We got married 6 months after that. It was, you know, 2021 ended up being our best year. So we've like consistently grown. We were able to build our team more. And so it was just like the rock bottom that I hit in 2019, like the Lord really used that to refine me and prune me and really mold me into who he needed me to be for these last 2 years and what they have been and what they've required of me and the way, like the depth of my relationship that I needed to have with him. I just did not have that in 2019 that I do now. And like, it needed to be there, you know, like to sustain and to be able to steward what God has given us now in this season. And so, yeah, that's kind of like the story of what happened and how, you know, we kind of got to where we are today. But yeah, the end of 2019 was rough, but it was truly one of those blessings in disguise. I mean, my life verse is Romans 8:28, and that God will use everything for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so, you know, just he turns everything to good. You know, nothing is ever wasted with him, and hitting rock bottom was not wasted. There was such purpose. There was such purpose in that season. Like it needed to happen in order to be here.
Can you read my mind now, Amber?
Yeah, you're relating my whole situation right now.
I am. I feel like every time
you're now thinking that my future husband is in California.
No, that's not what I'm thinking. No, I just think it's always interesting how every time, this is why the podcast has just been a blessing for us, is that every time, you know, we're talking about things going on in our lives and the struggles and whatnot, and then our next guest has something to add to, it's kind of just like God uses whoever we have on to just like, you know, encourage in a way and whatnot. So it's always interesting. So I'm always just like looking at her like, Amber.
Hey, that's definitely not a coincidence, you know? And that's something so beautiful about the Lord is he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly where we're at. There is no, you know, tear that's ever cried in desperation or prayer that's ever whispered that goes unnoticed to him.
Right.
And that is something that I really recognized at the end of 2019, because I think before that, you know, I was a Christian before that. I believed in the Lord. I was said I would have I had a relationship with him. But a lot of the decisions that I made, I really made because I knew that was like, oh, this is what I should be doing. Not necessarily because there was like this connection between head and heart. And that's like what I wanted to do. And that was truly like the posture of my heart. That was like, oh, I think this is the right decision, or that's probably the right thing to say. Or like, you know, there just like was that lack of connection. And so that connection was really bridged through the end of 2019 and through 2020. Of just really understanding in depth the character of God and who he truly is and just how deeply he cares about us and how much he loves us, and that, you know, nothing is ever wasted, you know, and especially nothing's ever wasted with him. And so it was just really beautiful. I think that sometimes the lowest moment, like sometimes God has to bring us to our lowest moments in order for us to like open our eyes and realize and be like, he's like, listen, I've been trying to teach you this for a long time, but you haven't listened. And I think that was what it was for me, is like, he was trying to show so many of these things to me for so long and I wasn't listening. And I was like, ah, it's fine. Like, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be. And then all of a sudden it was like, he's like, you need to see this. Like, this is an issue that needs to be addressed. You know, these are issues. These are things you're like, you can't continue to have like a strained relationship with your father. You know, you can't continue to do things just because you think they're the right things to do. Like that's, you know, let's look at the posture of your heart that needs to be refined, right? Or you can't just say you have a relationship, but there's, you know, a misalignment between, you know, maybe how you're living and what you're saying, right? So there's just so many shifts that needed to happen. And the Lord just like, he loves us enough to allow those things to happen, to shift us and to further prune us and refine us into what he has next. Because again, like there's no way I could have stepped into what 2021 and so far what this year has had in store for us had I not had the relationship, had I not been pruned, had I not been refined in the way that he did in 2019 and 2020.
It's so refreshing to have someone on here that just gives all the glory to God. Not that others don't, but it just, I love it.
Yeah. There's no, I mean, this isn't, again, it's not because of me. It's not about me. Do I show up every day and do I put in the work? Do I do things with excellence? Yes, absolutely. You know, God doesn't ask us, like, I think some people get it wrong and they're like, okay, well, God's going to do everything. So I'm just going to sit here. He's going to do his thing. You know, it's like, he has to work through us. Like we're a vessel. Like, we got to move, right? We got to put one foot in front of the other. You know, we need to show up and do our part and let him do the rest. But yeah, I mean, he gets all the glory. There's no way, like, you know, not even from the rock bottom story of like business, but just like my personal story of the testimony of my actual life. Like I shouldn't even be here right now. And so the fact that I am here and doing what I'm doing and have the platform that I have, I'm absolutely not going to waste it by making it about me and making it point back to me, because it has nothing to do with me. You know, it's not about me. And there's no way I could be doing any of this if it weren't for the Lord. Like, it's just, you know, it's crazy what he's really done in my business. And so, yeah, he absolutely gets all the honor and glory for it all.
Amazing. Yeah. Now, you said right now that you shouldn't even be here. Are you open to sharing a little bit about your personal testimony?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very, very open about it. So I mentioned previously that I grew up in a broken home. So that really took a toll on me for, you know, the very like formative years of my life, you know, just feeling like, you know, my parents weren't married, so they didn't get divorced, but they weren't together. So I felt like in this weird middle ground, but I also felt like it was my fault because I was like the only kid, you know, I was like, if they obviously broke up because of me, like it's all my fault, you know? And so I just like carried that, you know, with me, and praise the Lord for therapy and counseling for many years. I'm in a much better place now, everyone. Let me just preface that. So I, you know, was going to like a public school and I was just bullied a lot. I've always been very talkative, very outgoing. I am a tomboy at heart. I was playing all the sports. So I was like friends with the guys, but the girls didn't like that. And I was like always goofy and weird and people would make fun of me for that. And I talk too much. And I always joke now, I would always get in trouble and made fun of for how much I talked, but now I get paid to talk. So for everyone that made fun of me, but yeah, I was bullied a lot and it was, you know, a really rough home environment. You know, my parents ended up splitting up. My mom lived in Ohio. My dad lived, you know, down here in Florida. And so, you know, just coming from a broken home, it just has its struggles. And, you know, my mom ended up getting remarried and stuff. And so it was just like hard at home, and then go to school and I would get bullied. And so I actually I struggled with anxiety really, really bad. And then I fell into depression and it got so bad to a point. There was basically like a rumor that was started about me in middle school that was a complete lie, a 100% complete lie, that, you know, I wasn't like a rebel kid in middle school, but I was definitely like edgier. And it was a guy that started a rumor and he was like the goody two shoes and, you know, had a different reputation, I guess. And everyone believed him. And so I was getting just really hateful notes in my locker, my track locker, my school locker. So it just turned into this big thing. Well, it was just like the final straw for me. And so I had made a plan to take my own life. And I actually had a relationship with our school's counselor. And so I basically went in there. I don't know why. And this was such a, it was such a God thing how this happened, because I consider myself to be a decently intelligent person. And you wouldn't go and tell a counselor that you plan on ending your own life and like how you're doing that and when you're doing that, because they're going to say something. Right.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I just wasn't in my right mind. And I just, you know, whether God allowed me to just do that, so the rest of the events would unfold, you know, I don't know. I'm not God, but I ended up telling my counselor my plan and what I was going to do and all of this. Well, she was like, okay, you know, listen very intently. And she's like, you know, give me 1 second. And she turned around and I got Baker acted. So I got sent to the hospital where they ran a bunch of tests on me. I was in the ER for 9 hours. They were basically like, yeah, girl, you need some help. And so they sent me to a psychiatric hospital. So when I was 14, I spent 5 days in a psychiatric hospital. And that was where, I mean, the Lord really met me there. And it was just kind of like this, you know, what am I doing? Like, what's happening? I'm really upset. Like, but this isn't me. Like, I know that there's so much more to life than this. Like, there's got to be a way out of this. And basically the decision that was made was that I would move from living with my mom in Ohio to moving in with my dad in Florida when I was 14. I just found this out like a year or two ago, but apparently it was only supposed to be for a year long. Like, that was like what the social worker had signed off is like, let's try it out for a year, see how she does. I never moved back. So it's been 10 years that I've been in Florida. And that summer that I had moved down, I went to the church that my family went to here in Florida. I went to like their youth camp and God met me. Like, that was the first time I've ever actually heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And basically the Holy Spirit was like, you have one of two choices. You can keep going down this path or you can surrender your life to me. And I decided in that moment to give my life to the Lord. And I had like prayed the sinner's prayer because hell sounded scary when I was like 6, you know, I was like, right. I don't want to be demons, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be in fire. So it sounded terrifying, you know, to a 6-year-old. I didn't like want to like live a life for the Lord, like, you know, all that. But I made that mm-hmm. decision at 14. And so basically from like that point until 2019, was just like this up and down roller coaster in my relationship with the Lord of like just fighting the enemy on like lies that, you know, I was like believing about myself and my life and my family and like coming from so much trauma, you know, like years of counseling and therapy and like talking to, you know, professionals about, you know, areas that I was struggling in with mental health and, you know, going on medication, coming off of medication and, you know, it's just a roller coaster and it still sometimes can be up and down. I still, you know, struggle, you know, every now and then with depression and anxiety. And I think that's a lot of things, like something that a lot of people probably wouldn't know because I'm very joyful and like happy, but it's something that, you know, mm-hmm. I still have to really fight and, you know, sometimes I still seek help for and, you know, get counseling for, but you know, the Lord just saved my life. Truly, the Lord saved my life. And also I always say that my business saved my life because it gave me something to focus on that was bigger than myself and wasn't about me. And that allowed me to serve and pour into other people instead of...
You found a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And so that's kind of like the back end of pre-coming to the rock bottom business-wise in 2019, just my personal story of how I got to that point. And so 2019, though, is when everything came to a head and the Lord was like, you know, you've been following me for a long time. But are you actually serving me? You know, are you actually surrendered to me? Like, do you genuinely want a relationship with me? And those are the questions that I answered throughout 2020 and like really dived into, you know, and like truly asked myself, you know, and having that time of like off work and everyone's home and like everything that was happening with the world of just really digging deep in my relationship with the Lord. And questioning a lot of things about my faith and what I'd always been taught and what I actually truly believed in. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it got me here today. But yeah, it's been a crazy time.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us.
That is amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. yeah, that we're big on mental health.
Well, we're big on mental health.
Yeah, my husband and I are very big on mental health, and he's actually building a business right now that is going to serve people that struggle with mental health, which is I'm really, really excited about. But yeah, I mean, I think like in the Christian space, it's not something that's talked about a lot, especially in the Christian space, or it's just like, oh, pray harder or like go to church or like, you're just possessed.
Give it to God.
Yeah, give it to God. Like all that stuff. Like I've heard every single thing under the book, and it's like, no, there are people that genuinely have chemical imbalances, and there are people that have like real traumas, and some people do need medication, and you know, counseling and therapy is like an absolute yes, 10 out of 10, you know? So I just think that there's such a stigma about mental health, especially in the Christian or faith related space. And so I love being open about my story. So if you're listening to this and it's something that you struggled with, or, you know, and this is, I don't know, maybe this is the first time you've heard someone else that has a similar story, like, please connect with me. Like, I'd love to, you know, meet you and talk with you, because I just feel like a lot of people aren't open about it. If you're a Christian, it's like, you can't struggle with mental health. Like, it's not allowed. Yeah.
So crazy, because it's exactly what we were talking about yesterday.
It's literally like this week's episode is literally like, I guess this is the follow-up to that.
Part two.
Because we were just talking about like how we deal with stressful situations. Like Amber had, you know, in our description, you know, a cancer survivor, Amber, stroke survivor. She had another, well, you can tell it, Amber. You tell your story.
So February 24th, I went in for what's called a craniotomy because I have two brain aneurysms. So they were going in to remove the coil from one and clip it instead. And after they clipped it, I suffered my now third stroke. And that third stroke partially paralyzed me.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I've been a hairstylist for 17 years, but now that I have no arm.
Well, it's like, there. It's not. It's there.
It's there. Wow. It's hanging out. It's hanging, but it's useless. So it's been, you know, an emotional, we're going through it, trying to figure out life. What do I do financially? And so yesterday we were just talking about the stress aspects behind all of it and how you deal with it and manage it.
And being depressed and whatnot. We feel you. We feel you on that. I have a two-part question. So was it scary for you to kind of, you know, start being more public about God in your business? And did you receive a lot of, you know, hate and, you know, the trolls coming out and whatnot? Like, how did that go and how did you deal with it?
Yeah. I mean, from a flesh perspective, as a human, 100% scary, especially with the culture that we live in. Like, I just genuinely feel like a lot of people hate Christians and think that we're the most terrible people. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, misconceptions. And then there's a lot of perceptions that are valid because of how some people handle, you know, their public platform and what they say and, like, you know, in comparison to like the political climate and whatnot. And so, you know, it was really scary starting to be more vocal about my faith and sharing that I have a relationship with the Lord, you know, because people make a lot of assumptions as to what that looks like and also what I believe. And then that leads to like what I believe politically, and then it becomes a whole thing. And then I don't talk about politics publicly, like, especially for that reason. But yeah, it was scary. But then I got to a point where I was like, we're not promised tomorrow. Am I more scared of what these people are going to say about my relationship with the Lord?
Right.
Or am I more fearful of me not being here tomorrow and standing in front of the Father and Him being like, why did you deny me? Why did you always deny me? Or why did you never say, you know, that you serve me? You know, why'd you deny me? That question, you know, like, I want to stand in front of my Father at the end of my life and Him to be like, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not like, get away from me, I never knew you. Or why did you deny me? That terrified me even more to have this relationship and to also like have the story and the testimony that I have, and knowing that, you know, it could meet people where they're at and make them feel less alone, or maybe encourage them to not take their own life, or encourage them to keep going in business, right? Like, I would be remiss to not share why I'm here, to not share what has kept me going, to not share why after everything I've walked through in my life, I still am so full of joy, like genuine joy of the Lord. Because people, it's not like, oh, you know, people are like, I love your energy. I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. That is the straight up Holy Spirit. Okay. Like that's the Lord, you know, or I love how happy you are. And it's like, it's not because everything's always going well. It's not because I have my whole life figured out. It's not because things haven't been hard. I had a whole coming to Jesus moment like 2 weeks ago where I sat down and I was like, Lord, why is everything in my life so difficult? Why do you always make everything so hard for me? Why can't I have it easy like some other people? I've asked that because my life has not been a freaking walk in the park. I'm sure y'all can relate. If you're listening to this, you can probably relate to that. But I would be remiss to not give people the real reason, to give them a sugar-coated reason or, you know, a worldly reason of like, I just kept going. Like, no, I genuinely did not want to be here anymore. And the Lord says, no, you're staying. And I'm going to make sure, like, I'm going to pull you out of this. Like, we're going to get through this and I'm not going to leave you. And so, I mean, and that's my story, you know, not, that's not to compare to anyone else's story. I know everyone's mental health battle is different. Every single person's story is different. And so that is my story, but it was definitely scary in terms of, you know, how I respond to people that weren't and still aren't very kind about it. I pray for them. I mean, that sounds so cliche, but I bless them. And I'm like, you know, I had people, we went viral on TikTok and last week, and I had a bunch of people that, you know, were just saying rude stuff. Like that comes with the territory of being on TikTok, or people that were like, you know, shut the F up and no one wants to hear anything you have to say. And I was like, I hope you have a blessed day. Like, have a great week. You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to say? Like, what you say about me and your opinion does not define me, and it shouldn't. And it shouldn't build my perception of things, like how I view myself. You know, like, I want to be so rooted and so secure in my identity in Christ that no matter what anybody says to me, if it's not in alignment with what he says about me, it's going out the window. It's completely going out the window. You know, so I don't listen to anything like that kind of stuff. I will either respond like kindly, I'll pray for them and send them on their way, or I'll just delete it because I'm like, well, whatever. I mean, it comes like, you just have to know it comes with the territory of being, you know, in the public space, being online, like showcasing your life, sharing your life, and then having like, you know, oh my gosh, she's a Christian, you know, something that is like so crazy to some people, you know, nowadays that people be like, can't believe, you know, like it's just comes with the territory, you know? And so it's just like accepting that, but then also being like secure in your identity in Christ and knowing that like, you know, if you have a crazy story, even if you don't have a crazy story, just like any story, you have a story. If you're a human, you have a story. If you have a story and like God has done something in your life, you know, you never know how that could help people. So you'd be remiss not to share it, you know, and not to meet people where they're at and encourage them and like love them and serve them, you know, especially if you have like a platform and stuff. But yeah, that's kind of my take on that. I mean, it comes with the territory and that's how I handle it.
Even with your relationship to God, as that deepens and gets stronger, how reconnect with your now husband, like it's all for a reason.
Counseling, y'all. Years of counseling and therapy, let me tell you. Okay, that's the only way. That's the only way to get, there's no way. Like, and yes, of course, like the, just being in the word and like being in prayer and like having fellowship and having community is so important, but like seeking medical help or professional help from somebody that's like licensed is a game changer to like understand how to process things. Like, I love cognitive behavioral therapy. That's what I've done, CBT, for years. And it has completely changed my life, completely changed it. Just to like process differently everything that's happened versus like seeing it as like just a detriment, you know? And I think that that's really why I'm able to do what I'm doing now, even after everything that I've walked through, is like understanding how to process it differently. And, you know, that's really what allowed me to like rebuild my relationship with my dad and like other people, you know, that I just had strained relationships with for so long. Just going to therapy and like understanding where they were coming from and like processing things differently and not looking at it the same way that I always had, like through the lens of like intense trauma and stuff. So yeah, anyone that's listening, pro therapy, pro counseling.
It's also nice because all of the things that we said before, you're just backing us up now.
Yes.
Because we say that too. Like we're always saying that. And just yesterday, like my mom had a saying, like, God can't move a parked car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you know, yes, God can come through for, God does come through for you, even in ways you didn't think of, mm-hmm. but you still like, it doesn't mean just like sit back and like, all right, God, what are you going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like the difference between like pre having the relationship with the Lord I do now versus now. If have y'all ever heard of the book Grace Over Grind? Okay. That if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, that is the number one book you should read. It's not long. It's super easy to read. It is so impactful and powerful. It's like 11 bucks on Amazon. Like I have it linked in my Amazon storefront if you want like a quick link, but that book is life-changing. And really the difference between, you know, was I successful before, you know, collaborating with the Lord on my business and surrendering everything to him? Yes. However, was I more stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, felt like I could never, there was never enough time there. I always had to do more. Nothing was ever enough. Yes. Now, do I still fight off those feelings? 100% because I'm human. However, the difference between then and now is I am surrendered in my business. Like my business is surrendered to the Lord. So I'm detached from the outcome of what happens from a worldly standpoint of success. And also my success isn't defined the same way that most business owners and entrepreneurs would define their success. So for me, it's like, if someone told me my story, like saved their life, that to me is a definition of success over making six figures or seven figures, right? So it's just like, what's the difference? Like, why are you actually showing up? The way that I showed up, the way that I ran my business, the way that I, you know, invested in my team is completely transformed. And just a big thing is just being surrendered, just being completely surrendered and not doing this for me. I think that's a big difference, is not doing it for me. And so I could be known or so I could have success or anything like that. It's for the Lord. It's for the honor and the glory of him. And I'm able to operate out of just this posture of grace, operating out of, you know, putting my best foot forward and showing up, but not overexerting myself, you know, not having to work 70-hour weeks and 24/7 and never taking a Sabbath. Like, now I honor the Sabbath. I have a Sabbath day every single week. You know, I have a lot of margin to be able to pour into, you know, community and friendships and family and, you know, intentional date nights, right? Or, you know, time off for myself, like going to the gym every day, you know, things like that, that aren't just, my entire life doesn't revolve around business and work anymore. And that's how it used to be, is I felt like I could never take a break. I could never rest. I could never stop because like I had to sustain everything. I had to build everything. And it's like, no, God's going to sustain everything. Like, yes, show up, but he's going to sustain it. Just remain surrendered to him in terms of the outcome and the output. And he's going to take care of the rest. You know, you don't have to like bust your butt 25/7 and completely exhaust yourself and get to the point of burnout. Like that's not success, you know, and it's also not sustainable. So yeah, that's kind of like the biggest difference, is just like that posture of surrender that I have now that I didn't have before. And I have like a faith-based resources category in my Amazon storefront. So that's like, you know, the Bible that I use and the journals that I use, devotionals I love, and books that have really changed my life. Like another life-changing book for me is You Are the Girl for the Job by Jess Connolly. Game changer. Just for like how you view yourself, how you view your business, how you view showing up, like your purpose, you know, actually believing that you are the girl for the job that God has called for the job. So that's a really great one. I would say like, if you're going to read any two right off the bat, I would suggest Grace Over Grind and then You Are the Girl for the Job.
That's awesome. We'll definitely check out those books. Can you tell us, what are the type of clients that you work with?
Yeah. So who we serve through Network to Net Worth is a myriad of people from different niches and industries and backgrounds. Like, we have women in there that are influencers and content creators specifically, but then we also have hairstylists, we have graphic designers, we have photographers, videographers, we have someone that was a professional violinist, we have athletes, we have models, like anybody that you can think of that wants to leverage paid brand partnerships, there is somebody that is in there from any kind of crazy niche. I always make a joke. I'm like, whether you're, you know, a graphic designer, photographer, influencer, content creator, or an underwater basket weaver, Intuin is for you. If you fit any of those, good. Yeah, yeah. It's been really fun. It's been just cool to like show people that they don't have to be an influencer or content creator or want to be considered one of those things in order to leverage paid brand partnerships.
So possibly a couple of podcast hosts. I might know some.
Oh, yeah. We have people in there that do podcasts, like, because you can run ads, like with brands. You can have brands sponsor your podcast.
Wonder.
So we have a lot of people that do have podcasts that leverage brand partnerships for that.
Bar Taco.
Bar Taco. Yes. Back to the Bar Taco.
We might just have to go to school, Amber.
Come to my school. Be one of my students.
Yes.
You know, Kalia, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and giving our listeners some helpful advice and just, you know, all around good time with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to just share my story with you and be part of this. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram or TikTok. My handle's at Kalia Nicole. And if you listen to this and this like resonated with you, please send me a DM on either platform. I would love to connect with you and hear your story. And if there's just any way that I can serve you in this season of your life, let me know.
You might need to spell that for people.
Yes. So first name, Kalia, K-A-H-L-E-A. And then my middle name, Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E with two E's at the end. So Kalia Nicole, E, Kalia Nicole E. It's got those two E's because 12-year-old me grabbed the Kalia Nicole account and I can't remember the password. So it's Kalia Nicole with two E's for the rest of my life. Social media struggles. Third world, what is it? First world problems?
I thought it was third world problems. First world problems?
It's first world.
There's third world, but then there's like the first world where it's like not really a problem. We just make it a problem in our generations, like first world problems. Just like fly by the seam of your pants. People say fly by the seat.
I thought it was seat.
Of your pants?
Seat.
The seat?
I think it's definitely.
I think it's seam. Seat
of your pants.
Let's
fly by the seam of your pants. Like, now we gotta Google it. I'm like, maybe I am wrong. And I just put this on the record.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Yep, there it is. Fly by the seat of your pants.
The seat.
The seat?
So basically you're always prepared, so you're on the edge.
I think seam makes most sense.
It says rely on instinct rather than logic or knowledge.
Fly by the seat of your pants. Well, I'm wrong. That wouldn't be the first time. I was like, seam. Pants have seams. It's seam, right? Yeah. No, it doesn't. I've heard seed, fly by the seed. I was like, I didn't know you could plant pants. Plant pants. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say together. I don't think I've ever said that.
It's just another one of those things that, like, I don't understand. I don't get. You know, another thing I don't understand when people say it's either this or the latter. Like, what does that mean? The ladder? Is there
you're like I don't understand.
Do we climb? Yeah. Like, yeah. I never see a ladder. I like, I don't get it.
Like, L-A-D-D-E-R.
I don't get it.
That's funny.
Parking garages.
Yeah.
Like, how? How do they work? I don't get it.
Yeah. We live in an apartment and we have a parking garage. Yeah, it's annoying.
Like, I don't get it. Like,
I don't know.
You go up and down. Like, I don't, it doesn't make sense to me.
You're like, make it make sense. You guys should do a whole episode on like things that just don't make sense as an adult.
Yes.
That'd be funny.
You know, I will take that advice from the full-time content
like,
creator.
I have an idea. So you should do this. Oh, well, thank you guys again just for having me and letting me share my story and being part of this.
So fun. It's so inspiring.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're great for, you know, kicking at least my butt into gear for sure.
You can find me on Instagram at Amber_N_G. And you can email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com.
As well as find us on Instagram at Uncommon Faith Podcast. And you can find me at Ashley.Reed or Ashley Reed Music.
all out of order.
It's all good. Until next time, guys, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.